Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Today, short stories. No time for a novel? No problem. Our book experts have some short story suggestions. With us is Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library. Good morning, Jill.
Good morning, Mindy.
And Vicki Titcomb from Titcomb's Bookshop and Eat Sandwich. Good morning, Vicki.
Good morning, ladies. All
right, so this was, people are just busy, right? And sometimes you got the kids, you're running around on vacation, and you just don't have time to sit down and read a novel from, you know, cover to cover. So the short stories.
That's right. That's what we think would be a great idea.
Take it
for some summer reading.
You know, some people think it's a good idea. And it's funny when you mention short stories to people, they either love them or they hate them. Hmm. It seems like there's never any in between.
Why would you hate them? Because you want more of a story?
I think for me, sometimes I do. I get wrapped up in that story and I don't want it to end. And I'm not ready to go on to the next story and just change gears. Mm. And I think there's some of that.
Yeah.
But they're like crystallized, these stories, aren't they?
They are. And I think that what some of my favorite memories of reading as a kid is reading short stories. And I think because you could, it was like eating chips or something, like you could have one and it was good. And then, oh, that was so good, I'm going to have another one. And Ray Bradbury, I spent like a whole summer reading Ray Bradbury. Science fiction. I think the other thing is about short stories is you can now find any kind of short story you want. If you want a really modern short story, you can get that. If you want old time science fiction, you can get that. You can have mysteries in short stories. But I agree with you. I think a lot of people don't like to read them because they want the trilogy. You know, they don't want to stop. And so as a result,
these are people with a lot of time.
clearly.
But I think this is a nice reminder, because when you read those short stories, you realize what wonderful things they are. And they open your mind and they move you.
And this has been a huge education for me reading some of these stories, because there are a lot of, I don't generally read really new stuff. For whatever reason, I prefer, 19th century novels. And I like the long form. However, was this an eye-opener to read some of the stories that are being written right now and being published now in these fascinating collections, and are both terrifying and fascinating, and you learn so much about what you're afraid of or what the writer is afraid of. And it's sort of interesting in a way that I didn't expect it to be. And I'm not sure I would necessarily call, these aren't all great stories for everybody, but today we tried to bring really a variety of stuff. So I've got some really old stuff and some really new stuff, and I think we'll have fun.
Who wants to start?
Well, I'd be happy to start. I'd be happy to start with, actually, I just want to read a little bit from the intro that Roxane Gay did for the Best American Short Stories. This is the 2018 edition. These come out every year. There are piles and piles of them. If you want a good idea of what's happening in literature in any given year, pick up one of these Best American Short Stories. And I was very sort of disturbed yet interested in her intro, in that a big part of it is sort of what the country is going through, and a big part of it is about what the political situation is. And it seems that that is entirely what she decided was how she was going to edit this, that she was going to find stories that somehow spoke to her about this. But she also writes about why it is that short stories are so great to read at this time. She writes in her introduction, "In times of great personal or public upheaval, I turn to reading. I turn to fiction and how writers imagine the world as it is, was, or could be. I am not avoiding reality when I read fiction. I am strengthening my ability to cope with reality. I am allowing myself a much-needed buffer, a place of stillness and quiet. I read fiction to step away from the cacophony of the news and social media and the opinions of others. The reprieve fiction provides is a necessary grace."
That's so true.
Yes.
And that, I think that is lovely. And I think it is true that you can really get, it's a great thing about reading fiction, right? Yeah. You can get pulled out of whatever you're in and hear a new story.
Into a whole new world.
That's right. That's right.
And I think one of the interesting things about reading the Best American Short Stories collections is you learn as much about the editor as you do in the stories you're seeing. Because what is the best? How do you determine that? It's very much in one person's opinion in this case.
That's absolutely true. And she is given a bunch of stories before, you know, they gave her something like 150 stories and, you know, go tell us which are the best for you.
Yes.
And so every year, depending on the editor, it makes a big difference who gets in. It's the same with the O. Henry stories, which is another great annual collection of short stories.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting if you really like the author, you can see if they've edited them. Like Richard Russo is a favorite of mine and he's edited a year. And it's fun to see what does he like and what does he consider the best.
Right. Yeah. That's absolutely true.
Yeah. He's great.
Yeah.
All right. What have you got, Vicky?
Well, funny, I brought along, it's called The Best American Short Stories of the Century. And this is a compilation year by year of the best of each of these volumes that you brought, Jill. This is edited by John Updike and Katrina Kennison. And every year, what they've done is gone through the best of short stories, which started sometime, I think, in 1914 or 15. And so again, you see, just you can look through time, what were the issues of the time, and there's fabulous, they're fabulous, fabulous writers. And I think if you are just dipping your hands or your mind into some short stories, it's a great way to start. There's Sherwood Anderson, there's Scott Fitzgerald, and Robert Penn Warren, E.B. White, one of my favorites. I highly recommend Best American Short Stories of the Century.
And it looks like it's large enough, it would get you through the whole summer.
I think it would.
And then
so one book does it all.
4 inches thick.
Yeah. All right, Jill.
All right. So one of the collections that I looked at, which is a fairly new collection, is called, and many of you may have already heard of this, it's called You Know You Want This by Kristen Rupinian. And Kristen, I had the great pleasure of actually hearing her speak this past winter because, as it turns out, Kristen graduated from Falmouth Academy.
Wow.
So we think of her as a local girl. and she was charming and lovely, and never in a million years would I have expected her stories would be as dark as they are after seeing her in person and how delightful she was. But she shot to stardom via a short story called Cat Person, which I first read in December of 2017 in The New Yorker. And New Yorker tells you it's fiction, right? Oh, it's fiction. Great. And I read it and I thought it was really interesting and said a lot about what the dating world is now for young people. And I was astonished when I went onto Twitter looking for how other people were responding to this story. And there was this sort of Twitter storm of people who thought this was nonfiction, that the story was nonfiction, and as a result, were really not very nice to the author. And I was really interested, although a lot of women really related to what the story is, which is essentially about dating. And I think it's very astonishing how, and so she caught fire. I mean, she was absolutely the queen of Twitter for a while. Unintentionally. I mean, this was not something she had set out to be. Exactly. And in some ways, it's terrible. In other ways, she then got a book published of her story. So that's sort of great. And the reviews for this book have been sort of mixed. But that short story really made such a difference. And she... It's funny. There was this article interview with her in The Guardian, and she says that she was completing this fellowship in writing, and for 3 or 4 days after her story came out, enjoyed the world's customary reaction to most fiction and all short stories, complete indifference, while basking in the achievement of it having been published at all. I was thinking, wow, that was the greatest thing to ever happen, and now it's over. She smiles. Then it was Friday, and that's when it hit Twitter. I think that I am probably not her market for these stories. She's looking for a younger demographic. However, I really was thrilled and terrified by some of her stories, and they are dark. I mean, this is not, she tells this fairy tale that you think is going, like, you think you know what's going to happen because you've read lots of fairy tales, right? And then it turns into this very, 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 very dark tale. So if you, you know, the sun will be shining. So if you want a dark story, perhaps this is not, in fact, a winter book. I would recommend reading this in the summer. The fairy tale story is called The Mirror, the Bucket, and the Old Thigh Bone. And it begins, And again, you think, oh, this, I know this story. Once there was a princess who needed to get married. No one expected this would present a problem. The princess had lively eyes and a small, sweet face. She loved to smile and to joke. She was in possession of a sharp, engaged, curious mind. And if she spent rather more time with her nose in a book than was considered ideal at that time or any other, well, at least that meant she always had a story to tell. It was a great, oh, she has a great opening paragraph. But boy, does that story get dark fast.
Oh, boy.
Okay. And so there you have a warning that they're really interesting stories. You know you want this by Kristen Rupinian, but pretty dark.
Okay.
Vicki.
You know, I read Cat Person, Jill, and really loved it. And I think she can be such an honest writer. And I think that's why people were so touched by that. I saw, too, the Twitter reaction. There was a whole Twitter account about men who hate Cat Person because of the description of how the girl treats him. This is about a 20-year-old sophomore in college who's dating a man in his 30s, and they have more of a relationship that's not real. It's based on online talk as well. They've met in person. But there's a reality in her writing that really strikes a chord, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, I talked with our staff when I said about that I would be talking about short stories, and I got so much information from everyone. And so many great ideas, things I had never thought of. I mentioned it to my mom, Nancy Titcomb, and her first thought was Thornton Burgess, and who wrote short stories for children that were aimed to teaching them about the natural environment and appreciation of nature. So I had to mention Thornton Burgess. And that's an idea. I hadn't even thought about him with short stories at first. And then Elizabeth Merritt on our staff, who's our adult book buyer, mentioned O. Henry. Like, oh, of course. Here I'm thinking of all these modern writers. And I was remembering The Ransom of Red Chief. Oh, my gosh, that story. And I don't know if either of you happen to have seen it or anyone out there. On Kukla, Fran and Ollie had a program and they showed short movies. But they did The Ransom of Red Chief.
Oh, I don't remember
and
that.
It's about these ne'er-do-wells who decide to make some money and kidnap the son of a prominent citizen in a small town. Well, they do, and he calls himself Red Chief, and he is a hellion. He is horrible, and it has this wonderful twist that I won't reveal, but it's one of those stories I saw as a 10-year-old on TV and never forgot, and then went back and read it again after Elizabeth had mentioned O. Henry. But I wanted to bring up, there's so many to choose from. I guess I have to start with George Saunders, who did 10th of December. This was a National Book Award finalist, one of the 10 best books of the year from the New York Times. And I think often we do that the acclaim doesn't go to collections of short stories. So this is a little bit unusual. But he is the most brilliant writer. And I loved the stories. They often make you feel uncomfortable. Mm. There's a story called Al Rustin about a small town man who also just can't quite succeed in life in almost any way. And he is brought into a fundraising auction. He embarrasses himself. Often doing stupid things, and you're drawn into the discomfort that he feels constantly because he's always just on the wrong side of stuff. There were several others, though, that are just outstanding. The Semplica Girl Diaries is a future world. Again, kind of a ne'er-do-well man. He's trying to take care of his family. It's very human stories, but it's really about wanting more, perhaps, than we have. There are these things called Semplica girls, which are young immigrants that are brought in and are strung up with microfiber through their heads and in houses as ornaments.
Oh, my goodness. And how very creepy.
It's a very creepy story. And it's about wanting things for reasons that make no sense, perhaps, about materialism, but about family and wanting to do right by your family. And again, you feel uncomfortable. And finally, I have to mention one other one that just moved me so much. It's called Home. And it's about a soldier who has returned from a war. We don't know which one, but it's recent. And His mother is a character. It's funny. It's pathetic. She has a very foul potty mouth, so I'm not reading any of this story. instead of, she's trying to reform because she's working for a church, so all of her bad words are called bleep, bleep in this and bleep that. And it's really about coming home, no matter what home is. And I think he's brilliant, okay. Brilliant writer.
And the book again?
It's called The 10th of December by George Saunders. Right. Highly recommended.
866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to recommend a book of short stories for us. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. It is books on short stories this morning with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Titcomb from Titcomb's Books in East Sandwich. 866-999-4626 if you'd like to suggest something for our book list this morning. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Jill.
Well, I'm going on to something a little lighter for those of you that might want nothing as quite as dark as we've been chatting about so far. And this is a classic. I did not know that Gladys Tabor wrote short stories until getting ready for this. And she has a book called One Dozen and One Short Stories by Gladys Tabor. And for those of you that don't know Gladys Tabor, she has written a lot of classic books on her house, basically. And I was surprised to see, I saw that there's actually Gladys Tabor fan club. Hmm. And Susan Branch, who lives on the Vineyard and does a lot of books, yeah. is a huge fan of Gladys Tabor. And she's funny because she wrote a blog about it. And she writes, many people inherit their fondness for the writing of Gladys Tabor from their mothers or grandmothers. Others discover her by accident. I found her waiting for me on a shelf of old books left behind by the previous owner of the first little house I bought on Martha's Vineyard. The book was Best of Still Meadow, where I read the words, April in New England is like first love, and fell in first love myself with Gladys. So she wrote essays sort of about her home and what she did with her home, but she also wrote this collection of, at least one collection of short stories. And as the review of the time said, Gladys Tabor's dozen is kitchen cozy. Uh-huh. And it is, sentiment ranks high, style places a poor second, as she writes of young people and parents and neighbors and dogs. So I've read a couple of these, never having read her short stories. And one of them is called Impetuous Wedding, and it's actually really silly and really dated. So you have to sort of take this into account when you're reading, well, anybody, I think. Yeah. Some authors age better than others. But however, it's really about this couple who are coming to have a great time in their Cape Cod house. They're going to have a second honeymoon. The kids are out of the house, and it's going to be great, and they're going to be clamming, and everything's going to be terrific. They're going to fix up their house that's been falling apart. They're getting ready to paint, and they get this phone call from their daughter, who is in Maine, and she announces to them that she has met a boy, and they're getting married, and they're getting married on the Cape in the house, and this is what happens after that. And it is, as I say, ridiculously dated, and yet also sort of entertaining to see how they manage to pull themselves together in order to actually have this young woman's wedding in the house. And of course, she's telling them everything from Maine, what they're supposed to be doing, what they're supposed to be getting for her. They've never met this guy, so they're terrified. But they of course, because it's Gladys Tabor, everybody pulls together and all works
is well.
Out. All is well.
And isn't it a wonderful window into the past, too?
It is. It absolutely is. And what the Cape even was like back in the day when she was writing these. And some of these are from the 50s. The book came out in the 60s. But it is a really charming and sort of sweet look at what life was at that time period. And there's another one that's all letters, which is written between this woman who has three children and this man who wishes to marry her, but she not sure the three children are going to take to the new man. And he goes on a train ride with one of the kids, and the kid is writing these hilarious letters back to his mother. And it's just fun. It's a lot of fun. And I think, not surprisingly, another story is called Just a Little Havoc. A lot of it is about homes that sort of are having trouble of one kind or another, but it all ends well. That is the lovely part of these stories. One Dozen and One Short Stories by Gladys Tabor. Right.
Marilyn is giving us a call from Falmouth. Good morning, Marilyn.
Good morning. A book that I recommend because it has short stories that are an absolute zinger, is E.L. Doctorow's Lives of the Poets. And it has a novella and six short stories. And the one that appeals to me is called The Writer in the Family. And anybody dealing with extended family relations will find the zinger at the end of this story absolutely marvelous. I've lent it to friends, and they all agree it is a very well-crafted story. So it's an oldie but goodie.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
1984.
I would say, Jill, you must know this. I think you know all books.
I don't. Poets, thank right? you, Marilyn, for sharing it.
Okay.
And the other, I can't remember the name of the Canadian short story writer who wrote Runaway Horses.
Mm. Anybody know?
We're guessing Alice Munro, but is that?
Yes.
That
yes.
is right. Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Wonderful short stories. Right. And as usual, I love listening to the program.
Great. Well, thank you.
And keep on trucking.
Great. Thanks for the suggestions, Marilyn. We appreciate that. If you have Bye-bye. Some suggestions, give us a call, 866-999-4626. That's 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. Vicki, what's next?
Well, Kathy Colvin on our staff, who does our PR, is a big short story reader. And I thought, let me talk with her about this. And she suggested a story called Cowboys Are My Weakness by Pam Houston. First of all,
I have to say that's one of my favorite set of short stories. I didn't bring it with me, but I have read it. It's very fun.
It's just great, isn't it? It's about women. Maybe there's so much about any woman and relationships in this, but about trying to tame the untamable and always believing that you can. And mm-hmm. I always have that weakness that it will succeed. There's a wonderful story, Selway, where this young couple are going out because it's his idea to go out rafting on a very dangerous area. And she blindly follows him. And it's life-risking. There's been a death on the river that day. But to watch what she does and why she does it is just so fascinating. Fascinating insights. So, by the way, Kathy mentioned a couple of quotes, and I wanted to share those about short stories. One is by Neil Gaiman, and he writes, "Short stories are tiny windows into other worlds and other minds and other dreams. They are journeys you can make to the far side of the universe and still come back in time for dinner."
Mm.
I just love that.
I like that one.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
And there's one other one by Laurie Moore, another great writer. "A short story is a love affair. A novel is a marriage. A short story is a photograph. A novel is a film." Again, so succinct. And yes.
Very true. Good.
All right. Jill?
Okay. I've got another author who I'd not read previously, but who has been around, was around forever, is no longer with us, and wrote for The New Yorker for years and years. His name is Peter Taylor. He was living 1917 to 1994. He was a novelist. He was a playwright and a short story writer, and is considered one of the modern masters of short stories, even though I had never. This is always so terrible when I come across these people that I have, like, how did I miss this?
You miss it? Yeah.
And Library of America has come out recently with 2-volume set, a complete work, you know, all the short stories. His novel, A Summons to Memphis, had won the Pulitzer Prize in 1987. And generally, the stories are set in the South and sort of explore the historical changes that have occurred there. And in this particular collection, the intro was done by Ann Beatty, who is also a wonderful writer. And she writes, "How wonderful that all the stories are now collected in 2 volumes in the Library of America series. A reader unfamiliar with Taylor's work will here become an archaeologist. American history, especially the Upper South's history of racial divisions and sometimes dubious harmonies is everywhere on full display. Taylor was raised with servants. The woman who was once his father's nurse also cared for him. Traditions were handed down, as were silver and obligation." And so I read one of the stories that is considered one of his best. And again, I was just blown away by it. And he is a beautiful writer. This one, and it's also, it's so creepy. You can't believe how creepy the story is. It's called Venus, Cupid, Folly, and Time. And it begins, "Their house alone would not have made you think there was anything so awfully wrong with Mr. Dorset or his old maid sister. But believe me, by the time you get to the end of the story, you know something is dreadfully not right about Mr. Dorset and his old maid sister. They have this party once a year where they invite all the youngsters from the neighborhood, like teenagers, to their house to do this party, which involves a sort of tour of their house. And some very odd things happen on this tour. And it is both breathtakingly well written and so creepy that you can't quite believe that this is happening. And by the end of the story, part of what happens is that these two kids that come, it's a brother and a sister and a friend, and they decide that the friend is going to pretend he's the brother. And so the sister and the pretend brother show up. And let me just say, some bad things happen. And by the end, you know, all the parents are involved. But it's one of these beautifully, beautifully written tapestries of life in this particular community and how it all falls apart by the end of the story. It's called Venus, Cupid, Folly, and Time. And also his story, one of the first stories in here is also really fabulous, called A Spinster's Tale. And there was this great article written in the Los Angeles Times about him. And it talks that he writes primarily about people between the 1920s and 40s. He does so first by means of his instantly memorable, eminently quotable narrators. In A Spinster's Tale, the collection's first story, an aging woman remembers candidly, quote, "My brother would often get drunk when I was a little girl, but that put a different sort of fear into me from what Mr. Speed did."
Oh, boy.
And then you learn more than you want to know about Mr. Speed. So highly recommend the Peter Taylor stories. They come in many different editions. The Library of America one has all of them.
All right. Let's talk to Cyril, who's calling from Falmouth. Hi.
Hi, Mindy. This is Cyril Dawson from Falmouth, retired teacher from Owen Hall. And as you're talking about short stories, I just wanted to remind you that I self-published a book of short stories 3 years ago, called 14 Spoons and 8 Stories. Eight stories.
And it's called 14 Spoons?
14 Spoons, 8 Stories.
8 Stories. Okay. We will
put
that on
the list. And the library has a copy. I gave them one. Mm-hmm. It's a collection of short stories, and each story there's at least one silver spoon. Sometimes it drives the story. Sometimes it's incidental. The last story ties all of the spoons together. And there are historical fiction stories in there. There's time travel, realistic fiction, just a variety of things.
Okay. Well, thanks for reminding us of that and letting us know. We'll put it on our list. Thanks for calling. And just so folks know, we will have a link to the list on our website later today, so you don't have to jot all this down. We're doing that for you. All right, Vicki, what have you got?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about this book. This was recommended to me by Sarah Fox on our staff, and it's called Binocular Vision, New and Selected Stories by Edith Perlman. And it is a total gem. I loved her writing. And I'd like to read a little bit about from the introduction by Ann Patchett, another favorite writer. And this is it. "To that great list of human mysteries, which includes the construction of the pyramids and the persistent use of styrofoam as a packing material, let me add this one. Why isn't Edith Perlman famous? Of course, by not having the level of recognition her work so clearly deserves, she gives those of us who love her the smug satisfaction of being in the know. Say the words Edith Perlman to certain enlightened readers, and you are instantly acknowledged as an insider, a person who understands and appreciates that which is beautiful. Still, I think that Binocular Vision, New and Selected Stories should be the book with which Edith Perlman casts off her secret handshake status and takes up her rightful position as a national treasure. Put her stories beside those of John Updike and Alice Munro. That's where they belong." Mm-hmm. And I think that's just a very fitting and wonderful introduction to her. Her, and I think the title is really perfect too, because she looks at very big issues of the human condition and family, but she does it by looking at the little moments. And her work is understated, absolutely beautifully written. There's an amazing story called Inbound about a family who have a brilliant 7-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old with Down syndrome, and they're going to Boston to visit. They've taken the subway in, and you get this feeling in the interaction of the family of who they are and what they're all about. The little girl gets lost, and it's before the days of cell phones and other things. And she tells what happened. And it's because this family knows them, each other, so well that things do turn out all right. On Junius Bridge is another fabulous story of an inn out in Russia, and a family who stay there and an attempt at a kidnapping. But Self-Reliance was one that finishes off the book that is just a remarkable story of an older widow who's gone part-time to live in a house in New Hampshire and has been told that she has cancer once again, and what happens with her. They're breathtaking, they're beautiful, and that's Binocular Vision, New and Selected Stories by Edith Perlman.
All right, thank you.
Well, I have to mention a reference resource.
Of course you do.
What a surprise.
There we go, Jill.
But you will love this. Any of you who may have read a short story a long time ago and can't remember the title, which not so long ago happened to me, what happened was I was looking for the story that I was sure Pamela Painter had written. I was sure it was about a woman who had a diary, and the diary was in a car, and somehow the diary was stolen. And that was, you know, pretty much all I can remember. And so I was like, well, what can I do? I've looked and looked. I can't
ask
find
a reference librarian.
So I asked a reference librarian. And there is this incredible index called the Short Story Index. Mm-hmm. And what is really incredible about it is that it gives you subject access to short stories. So it started in 1900. I mean, there are volumes and volumes and volumes of this. I'm looking right now at the volume that's from 1989 to 93. You can find pretty much anything when you look. And the stories are organized also, I mean, by title and by author, but by subject. So, for example, in the page I'm looking here, we've got stories about elections, electricity, elephants, elevators, Elizabeth II, Queen of Great Britain.
We tested
something
it.
For everyone.
We
yes.
tested it before we went on the air, and I said, tarantula. And sure enough, you found tarantula. Real estate, Vicky said, sure enough.
Sure enough, stories about real estate. there are pages and pages of stories about diaries. Not the one I was looking for, but pages of diary stories. There are stories in diary form. You know, they break it down in all kinds of different ways. And it is really a fabulous resource. And because it was done by actual humans when they first were doing it, the level of indexing is incredible. Mm-hmm. So just if you're looking for a story, take a look at Short Story Index.
All right. Let's talk to Kate, who's giving us a call from Falmouth. Hi, Kate.
Hello. I can't believe that you would be talking about short stories without mentioning the best short story ever written, which is by John.
We can't wait to hear.
Okay. It's by John Sayles, who made his money in the movies, but also has written a couple of novels like Union Dues and so on. And he has a collection of stories called At the Anarchist's Convention. And the story is At the Anarchist Convention, and I'll read you the first paragraph, if that's okay.
Sure.
It gives you a flavor of the story. It must have been written in the 70s. Sophie calls to ask, am I going by the Anarchist Convention this year? The year before last, I'm missing because Brickman, may he rest in peace, was on the committee and we were feuding. I think about the Soviet dissidents, but there was always something, so it's hard to say. Then last year, he was just cooling in the grave and it would have looked bad. So it's from the point of view of someone who is obviously a lifelong working man, a lifelong anarchist, very, very leftist, and he attends for a period of about 2 hours the anarchist convention at a hotel in New York City. So like at one point they try to give people name tags. He goes, name tags at the anarchist convention. It's hilarious. And it also, as someone was saying, it just captures a little place and time in history and just puts you in the middle of it in a way that you can't help but admire.
Oh, Kate, thanks for that suggestion. We appreciate that.
That's wonderful.
I don't think neither of you have heard of it, right?
No. Oh, so I've heard of it, but I haven't ever read it.
All right, Kate, thank you for that. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We are talking about short stories this hour with Jill Erickson, reference librarian at Falmouth Public Library, and Vicki Titcomb from Titcomb's Bookshop in East Sandwich. 866-999-4626 is our number if you'd like to add to our list. 866-999-4626. Our email address is thepoint@capeandislands.org. And Jenny says, I recommend the short stories of Angel Carter, a wonderful writer known for her feminist magical realism works. The story I love especially is called The Tiger's Bride. Thanks for that, Jenny. We'll put that on our list. I don't remember who's up next. Jill?
I'm happy to continue here. Yeah. The when I was asking people, what short story should I make? You know, what's your favorite? What's your favorite? There were several classics that came up. And one of them being The Open Boat, which is a short story by Stephen Crane, which was based on something that actually happened to him. And it is a beautifully written, terrifying story about people being trapped in a boat on the sea and afraid they are going to drown. And one of the lines is, a singular disadvantage of the sea lies in the fact that after successfully surmounting one wave, you discover that there is another behind it, just as important and just as nervously anxious to do something effective in the way of swamping boats. So it's a lot about swamping boats and what happens to them on that boat. But that came up several times, as did the story Sonny's Blues by James Baldwin, which I had never read. And it is a gorgeous story about two brothers in Harlem and what happens to them and the influence the jazz has on them, as well as the influence of drugs and what drugs can do. He writes so beautifully. Here's just a little bit. All I know about music is that not many people ever really hear it. And even then, on the rare occasions when something opens within and the music enters, what we mainly hear or hear corroborated are personal, private, vanishing evocations. But the man who creates the music is hearing something else, is dealing with the roar rising from the void and imposing order on it as it hits the air. He is just a spectacular writer. It's a heartbreaking, beautiful story. But both of these stories can be found in a book that will take you again the entire summer. So this is the perfect, if you're here for the whole summer, this is the book for you. The Art of the Short Story by Dana Gioia and R.S. Gwynn, 52 great authors, their best short fiction and their insights on writing. After every short story, there's something about from the author that has been written about short stories. It's really sort of a class in short stories. It has all kinds of fabulous stories in it. And then after that, it talks about the elements of short fiction and plot and point of view, how to write short stories, critical approaches to short stories. So both sort of great stories, but also commentary on those stories. And just a spectacular standout collection of writers in here, from William Faulkner, Flaubert, Willa Cather, Virginia Woolf, lots of great stories. So and strong enough, heavy enough to not fly away when you're on the beach, because it's quite a hefty volume called The Art of the Short Story.
Let's talk to Dennis, who's giving us a call from Provincetown. Hi, Dennis.
Hi, Mindy. Hi, Jill.
Hey, Dennis.
I just got back from a walk, and I turned the radio on, and I heard the best short story ever. That's wrong. The best short story ever is called The Laughing Man, and it's by J.D. Salinger, and it's in his collection Nine Stories, which is brilliant. Uncle Wiggily in Connecticut, Perfect Day for Banana Fish. Beautiful collection of stories. You know, he wrote most of them for the New Yorker magazine back in the 50s. And I think The Laughing Man is perfect, a perfect story. I also wanted to mention someone still alive. Her name's Edith Perlman.
Oh, great.
Yeah,
Vicki actually did just mention her, right, Vicki?
Binocular Vision.
Yes, Binocular Vision.
Binocular Vision is a beautiful collection. And also William Trevor is a master.
Yes,
I don't know if you mentioned him.
No, but he's
much
great.
Much overlooked. Many, many, many stories and much overlooked. So I don't think anybody could go wrong with any of the things I just mentioned.
All right. Dennis, thanks.
Among many others. Alice Monroe, I guess you mentioned Alice Monroe.
We did Alice.
Yeah. Okay, right. You covered it.
All right. Thanks, Dennis.
Okay. Bye. Right.
Let's talk to Anne, who's giving us a call from Marion. Hi, Anne.
Hi there.
Hi. Go ahead.
Oh, is it time for me?
Yeah, time for you.
Okay. So if you already mentioned this, I apologize, but Tom Hanks, Uncommon Type. Did you mention it?
No,
but
fantastic.
I almost...
Fantastic.
And all stories about typewriters, isn't that right?
Yes. And it's fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic. So put it on your list of things to read.
And this is Tom Hanks, as in the actor Tom Hanks?
Yes. The actor.
Oh, that's so funny.
Tom Hanks, the guy... Yeah. That absolutely adores typewriters as well.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, I just started reading it and I said, well, this is weird. And I read it in like an hour.
Oh,
it's
wow.
Fantastic.
All right.
Yeah. So
great.
Give it a try.
Okay. Thanks, Anne. Thanks for that suggestion. You too. Bye bye. 866-999-4626 is our number. Our email address, thepoint@capeandislands.org. Vicki, what have you got?
This is so interesting, isn't
I know,
it?
Everybody, yeah.
Everyone has the best, the favorite.
The absolutely best story
Short
ever written.
Short stories bring out people's emotions.
Right.
And often they are tough emotions. And I was thinking about what sort of books to bring. And I was getting a little bit angst, you know, some angst because they all have angst and pathos and horror. And then I went, oh, David Sedaris. I love David Sedaris. And his new book, Calypso, is fabulous. He is now in middle age. He's finding himself surrounded by family, his sisters, brothers, niece.
Which leads me to a question.
Yes.
Is this memoir or short stories?
Hmm. Oh.
No, I'm serious. I mean, it's just interesting to me because there are so many like biographies that are now memoirs and you know, memoir has sort of taken over. And what makes a short story? Is it a nonfiction short story? I mean, he tells them as stories, absolutely. But I'm just fascinated by, I haven't read it, so I don't know if they're all about his family or if they are, which is not to say Gladys Tabor wasn't writing about her family, because I'm sure she was writing about her family.
Well, I was just looking in the copyright page to see how that's listed. But you're right. It is memoir, but I think of them as stories.
They're as funny as can be.
But you're right. These are really true stories.
Which is essentially which the sea story was also a true story that he turned into a story, right? Which is what a lot of people do.
Yeah. Yes. And one of my favorites by him, of course, is Santa Land Diaries, is just absolutely brilliant.
And never gets old. No matter how many times I read that or listen to him tell it, it's always great.
But I think like a fine wine, he has matured in this story. He's bought a vacation house in Carolina, and he calls it the C section, S-E-A section, being typical David Sedaris. But it's all about family, and you feel the warmth of that. You feel the loss of a sister who committed suicide and loss of his mother. But as usual, there's so much humor. And I thought I'd just read a little bit from a section called Your English is So Good. And he's talking about the practice of pushing more stuff on you is called upselling. And it is one of those things that once you notice it, you can't stop noticing. At the airport in Baton Rouge a few years back, I ordered a coffee. Do you need a pastry to go with that? The young man behind the counter asked. I wasn't too shy to order the coffee, I said. So what makes you think I'd hold back on a bear claw if I wanted one? The fellow shrugged. We have Danish, too. That made me furious. On second thought, I don't want anything, I told him. Then I went a few doors down to Dunkin' Donuts and said, I would like nothing but coffee. Just coffee. Period. The woman behind the counter crossed her arms. No cup? Well, of course I want a cup. No milk or nothing. This always happens when I try to make a point. And milk, I told her. Coffee in a cup with some milk in it, but nothing else. Then, of course, my flight got delayed by 2 hours and I had to go crawling back for some munchkins. Do you need coffee or soda to go with that? The woman who replaced the one I spoke to earlier asked.
That's funny.
He's just, he sees life with such a funny attitude, the humor and everything.
And that's called just Calypso?
This is Calypso by David Sedaris.
All right, let's talk to Helen. I don't know where Helen's calling from, but good morning, Helen.
Helen's calling from Wellfleet.
From Wellfleet, okay.
You haven't yet mentioned Charles Baxter, who's still alive and a great short story writer, and that's mainly what he does. And another person, another author who is, you know, he's controversial these days, but nevertheless has written some of the most potent stories I've ever read, is Rudyard Kipling, whose short stories pack such a wallop, and who's, you know, from our modern day perspective, kind of offensive in many ways, to me at least, his racism and so forth. But what a great short story writer. And also, when he did it, which he didn't do it all the time, Henry James. Also, Catherine Mansfield, who is someone who you perhaps already mentioned. That's all.
Okay. Helen, thank you for your thoughts. We appreciate that. We'll put that, add that to our list. Thanks. And Jill, what have you got next?
Well, Lydia Davis, because I'm a big fan of Lydia Davis's very, very short stories. This one happens to include a longer story on Cape Cod and some time. She, too, I think a lot of what she writes is based on what actually happens to her. This particular volume is Varieties of Disturbance, but she also writes these really, really short stories, literally one sentence. So, for example, here's one called Tropical Storm. Like a tropical storm, I, too, may one day become better organized. So, and then there's another one. Idea.
This is brilliant.
Idea for a short documentary film. Representatives of different food products manufacturers try to open their own packaging. I mean, they're very hilarious. And some of it is just, it seems very gory-ass to me. She has this one that's called Mrs. D and Her Maids, and it starts names of some early maids with identifying characteristics. And if these names don't sound like Corey, Cora, who misses them all, Nellie Bingo, our darling, but she disappeared into a sanatorium, Anna the Grump, Virginia York, not a whirlwind, Burdell Moore, old-fashioned with warm southern sweetness. It goes on and on. Lillian Savage, Gertrude Hockaday, Anne Carberry, great names. And she does also have one, which is, in fact, the time that she spent in Cape Cod. It's called Cape Cod Diary. And clearly she was in Provincetown, and it is her story of her time there, which begins, I listen to the different boats' horns, hoping to learn what kind of boat I'm hearing and what the signal means. Is the boat leaving or entering the harbor? Is it the ferry or a whale-watching boat or a fishing boat? At 5:33 p.m., there's a blast of two deep resonant notes, a major third apart. On another day, there's the same blast at 12:54 p.m., on another at exactly 8 a.m., the boats seem to come and go at all hours. Anyway, it's about her time where she's trying to write and she's getting distracted by things like boat horns. Lydia Davis is the name of this set of stories. Varieties of Disturbance is the title. And she also has been a translator of Proust, and she has a funny story in here about her translating Proust and the backlash she got from that story.
Unfortunately, we're not going to get to all of the books we brought, ladies. I'm sorry, but it is time. So thank you for our suggestions from listeners this morning. We'll have a list to all the books we talked about up on our website later today at capeandislands.org. Jill Erickson and Vicki Tookham, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mindy.
Thank you, Mindy.
I'm Mindy Todd. Thanks for listening.
The Point is produced by Amy Vince. The executive producer is Mindy Todd. Production assistance from Jenny Junker and Dan Tridle. Theme music by Benjamin Verdery and William Coulter.